come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. As we get closer to the election, these two subjects dominate the conversation. Each of my guests will discuss either business or politics or both. My next guest lived under tyrannical rule in France in the 1930s and 40s. He worries that America is moving backwards while the rest of the world progresses. He sees a second term by President Barack Obama as the solution that will put America back on the right track for the future. We'll discuss his findings in his book, Obama 2012, for a Compassionate America. Jacques Ferrari was born in Nice and raised in Monte Carlo, France. Jacques graduated from the Merchant Marine Academy in 1940 and joined the French resistance against the Nazis. Jacques emigrated to Kansas City in 1948, where he started as a maintenance man in an insurance firm. Quick promotions made him sales manager, training salesmen in 49 states. He obtained his citizenship in 1954, joining us from Southern California. Hi, Jacques. How are you today?
I am fine. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest on the show. And I want to start with your position about Barack Obama needs a second term. And I want to start with a Newsweek article that just came out, very controversial. Neil Ferguson is a Harvard professor, wrote a scathing article for Newsweek titled "Hit the Road, Barack." Now, Newsweek is hardly a conservative publication. And in the article, Professor Ferguson itemizes the numerous failures by President Obama to fulfill his campaign promises. Here's what President Obama promised in his 2009 inaugural address, that he was going to create jobs, lay a new foundation for growth, build roads and bridges, build electrical grids, build digital lines, restore science to its rightful place, wield technology to raise healthcare quality and lower costs, and transform our schools, our colleges, and our universities. Needless to say, none of that has come true. The private sector jobs alone are 4.3 million fewer than they were in January of 2008. Unemployment has been hovering around 8.2% versus the 6% that even President Obama himself proposed in his 2010 budget. And interestingly enough, President Obama said in an NBC interview that if employment wasn't at 6% by the end of his first term, and now I'm quoting, he said, well, we'll have to see about a second term. So in the light of all of these failures of the administration, how can you support reelecting President Obama?
Well, first of all, those failures are what Mr. Ferguson claimed they are. Most of them have been denied by economists like Mr. Krugman. And, you know, he talked about he promised to build bridges and roads. And he tried. He tried with a $447 billion job creation that would have concentrated on improving the failing infrastructure of the United States. That was turned down by the GOP, as everything else that he tried to do.
Well, now, President Obama, in his inauguration address, said that there were, quote-unquote, shovel-ready jobs available, that there were just these jobs waiting for the federal government to turn on the spigot and that they would happen. In reality, however, even President Obama himself, in retrospect, looks back and said that some of those shovel-ready jobs were not as shovel-ready as he had hoped that they were. So was it as much Republican blocking him as it was the fact that he may have overestimated how much influence that the federal government could have on these shovel-ready projects?
It's a combination of both. Yes, they were not quite shovel-ready. Like you said, that was just a term that he used when he tried to convince people to go along with his plan. But the fact remained, and nobody can deny that, when there was the 2010 election where he took what he called a shellacking, the big deal by the GOP was to promise jobs, jobs, jobs. Nobody can deny that. That's what they said. The day they were elected, the day they opened the new Congress, Mitch McConnell declared, and nobody can deny that either, our number one priority job will be to make sure that President Obama is a one-term president. Ever since then, whatever Obama promised, proposed, whether the GOP had agreed with it before or not, the answer has been no, the GOP became the party of no. And I'm sure even Mr. Ferguson could not deny all those things.
Well, my guest is Jacques Ferrari. We're talking about whether President Obama should have a second term. And even if I would grant you that Republicans were obstructionists in the last 2 years, you have to admit that President Obama had a green card in the first 2 years. He had the presidency was occupied by a Democrat. The Senate and the House were both ruled by Democrats. So he had free rein. And during that time, he could have passed stimulus bills to increase jobs. He could have unencumbered passed things to move the economy in the right direction and, in fact, didn't do that. So what do you say? I mean, how do you deny that those first 2 years were free range and nothing got accomplished to save the economy?
I described that very well in my book. It's not quite true that he could do what he wanted the first 2 years, because unhappily in the Senate there's a 60 supermajority rule that makes it impossible, if you don't have 60 votes, to have anything passed, since the other side can filibuster whatever they want, which they did in a record time. Never has there been so many filibusters as before. So he only had 59 votes in the Senate at the beginning. Of those 59, several were what they call blue dog Democrats, who are very often lining up with the GOP party. So it's not quite true that he could have done what he wanted. He proposed all sorts of stuff. And I am amazed. I think it's a miracle that he could have done as much as he did. People say he didn't do anything. I think he's done more than he... Then, in view of that, it's a miracle that he was able to do all what he did.
Well, Jacques, itemize then the things that he did accomplish during those first 2 years that perhaps we're overlooking. What did President Obama do to help us move the economy forward in his first 2 years?
Okay, number one, when he took over, there were 750,000 job loss each month in January 2000 when he took over. It's now in the... We have no more losses. We have now an increase every month. It's not sufficient, an increase, because it doesn't quite help us to capture all the loss that were jobs, all the jobs that were lost. But he has improved the economy enormously. And if he had not done what he has done, I think we would be in a full depression right now. What he has done, he passed the health care, number one. He passed the don't ask, don't tell, number two. He stopped torturing, number three. He had bank reform passed that trying to stop the abuses by the banks and by Wall Street, even though that was watered down tremendously by Congress. I mean, there's an enormous list of what he has done. And I don't quite understand how people can deny that.
Well, my guest is Jacques Ferrari, author of the book Obama 2012 for a Compassionate America. Let's talk about some of those things that you just enumerated there. The job loss, he stemmed the job loss. There is no more job loss. But as you readily admitted, the recovery in jobs is not happening. We get maybe 100 to 150,000 new jobs created each month, where just to replace the jobs that were lost, we need to have 300, 400,000. So we're half of where we need to be there. Growth in the economy. He himself, President Obama, proposed in his 2010 budget 3.2% growth. What we got was 2.4. In his 2011 budget, he proposed 4% growth. What we got was even worse than the year before, 1.8%. And in 2012, he proposes an astounding 4.6% GDP growth. We're going to come in somewhere around 2%. You mentioned that the Dodd-Frank bill, the financial reform bill, was one of his achievements there, albeit, as you say, it was watered down. Well, if you look at Dodd-Frank, there are about 2,319 pages in Dodd-Frank. And it creates about 243 new rules, many of which of these new rules are still yet to be written, as well as bringing in more and more bureaucrats to oversee both the big banks and Wall Street. And finally, you talk about torture and how we have stopped torture. Guantanamo Bay was one of his talking points during the election, and then in the inaugural address, he was going to close Guantanamo Bay, and we have yet to do that. So while there are some things that I would agree that President Obama has tried to push through, health care being number one among them, it may not have been the top priority. What do you say about his, first of all, selection of priorities, pushing health care above the economy? And then second of all, what do you say about his financial team that he has surrounding him?
Well, let's go to the one that I really like that you brought up. You brought up Guantanamo, that it didn't close. It's true, it's not closed. You know why it's not closed, right? I'm surprised you asked me. It's not closed because the Republican and many Democrats were able to pretend that bringing those people for trial in the United States would create a huge danger for the population. Bear in mind that when he killed Obama, when he killed
Bin Laden,
there were so many critics too, like Ron Paul, who said they should have been brought to the United States for trial. Not Guantanamo, they should have been brought for United States. They should make up their mind. Number one, Bin Laden would not have surrendered and voluntarily come to the United States. Number two, why wouldn't that have been a danger for the United States to bring him here for trial, since closing Guantanamo was such a big, big danger, okay? You want to know about the economy, and why did he push Obamacare, health care before anything else? Because it's been tried for 40 years by all sorts of presidents, mainly Democrats, and it's been turned down every time because the power of the insurance industry is so huge that nobody could get it passed. He managed to get it passed, certainly not like it should have been passed. It was watered down, and he made a huge mistake to say that insurance company going to remain part of it, which I disagree with. I happen to be an insurance man, and I know what else insurance people do. I know it very well, and I'm opposed to it. Now, what else do you want to know? The financial?
Well, I want to know, was his priority proper to choose Obamacare over improving the job situation and reviving the economy, first of all, and then second of all, about his financial team? Does he have a good team of advisors around him advising him about the economy? Does he have a grasp on the economy itself?
He has a fantastic team. Even that Mr. Ferguson recognized he has a fantastic team. He had Larry Summers, he has Tim Geithner, he has Paul Orszag. He has a fantastic team, but nothing can be done in this country unless Congress approves it.
Orszag is gone. Summers is gone.
That's right.
And Geithner is the one that remains. Geithner is a holdover from George W. Bush's administration. Geithner was the president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank, who then Obama elevated to become his Secretary of the Treasury. And I find it interesting that it was the New York Federal Reserve Bank that was responsible for regulating and watching Wall Street during the financial collapse. And Timothy Geithner was at the head of that bank as the situation collapsed around him. President Obama then chose to elevate him to be Secretary of the Treasury. Was that a good choice? Are these, in fact, good people surrounding him?
That was an excellent choice. Obviously, since he was there, knowing what was happening, he was also there to know how to correct it.
If he was there when it was happening, why didn't he stop it as being the president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank?
But he was working for Mr. Bush.
He was actually not working for Mr. Bush because he was part of the Federal Reserve. He was working for Mr. Bernanke.
You're the one who just said, I'm just quoting you, that he was one of the Bush men. You're the one who just said, I didn't say it.
No, he was part of the Bush administration, but he directly reports to Ben Bernanke, so he had no direct reporting to President Bush. I just want to make that point clear. So he was reporting to Federal Chairman Ben Bernanke. He had a chance to see the world collapsing, the financial world collapsing around him, and did nothing. Was that a good choice for Secretary of the Treasury?
It was an excellent choice, and he's been recognized worldwide as an excellent economist.
All right. My guest is Jacques Ferrari. He is very much in favor of President Obama having a second term. He's the author of the book Obama 2012 for a Compassionate America. So, Jacques, if we can, let's change gears on this for just a moment. You yourself lived through the Great Depression, so you observed firsthand, although you were in France, how President Roosevelt handled America during the Great Depression. So if you compare the economic situation that President Obama inherited to the Great Depression, how do you compare President Obama's first-term performance to that of President Roosevelt's first-term performance?
Well, President Roosevelt's first term was trying very hard to stop, and he started also the TVA and also the government project. after his second term, he was pushed by the Republicans. He was afraid of losing the vote, so he watered down his efforts, and the Depression almost came back full steam. The Depression really only stopped after World War I started, when all the American factories were busy producing arms for the Allies. That's what really stopped the Depression. So
compare and contrast what Roosevelt did compared to what Obama has done. I would agree with you. Roosevelt was very active in his first term, had a lot of programs. The WPA put a lot of people to work. President Obama, has he been as effective? Has he done as much as President Roosevelt did under similar situations?
Well, first of all, President Obama didn't have enough of a majority to do anything, since he did not have the 60 votes in the Senate that I mentioned before. Without that 60 vote, he cannot do anything.
But Jacques,
I would like to know who invented that. It's not democratic at all.
Well, now, isn't politics the art of persuasion and the art of possibility? President Obama is very glib. He's a very good orator. If he's so glib and so fluid with his words, wasn't he able to convince other people to follow his path, as Roosevelt did during the Great Depression?
Because the Chamber of Commerce is very strong, too, and also a very good orator, and they have a lot of money to back their... I mean, the fact that so many people rejected whatever Obama was proposing, whatever it was, it make no difference at all. The answer was no before he even offered anything.
All right. My guest has been Jacques Ferrari, author of the book Obama 2012. Jacques, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, Obama 2012?
I thought the last chapter that I call How Sweet It Is talks about Sweden. Okay, I've been in Sweden many, many times. And Sweden is a country that was very, very poor, as you know, by all the Swedes who immigrated to Minnesota and other parts of the United States. And it has become a giant, I mean, industrial giant, and a model for the rest of the world to see how well people live. I've been in Sweden many times. And I wish people would read the chapter about Sweden, and I'm going back to Sweden next July, even though I'm 91, just because I like to see how they do such things so well, and why we cannot at least study their system and see if it would apply to our country.
And we're going to have to leave it there. My guest has been Jacques Ferrari, author of the book Obama 2012 for a Compassionate America. Jacques, thank you so much for being my special guest here on the Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much.